Well, this is the day we'd either been looking forward to or fearing for a long time, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting. And the handicapping had been they'd cut interest rates, but maybe signal that they wouldn't cut interest rates again anytime soon, or maybe not quite as aggressively. And in essence, that's what happened. But as the chairman's news conference carried on and on and on, the stock market went down and down and down, and interest rates went up and up and up. One learned hand that was watching that had sat around the table and made that decision with them before, the former CEO of the Dallas Fed and current vice chairman of Goldman Sachs, Rob Kaplan, joins us now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to talk to you, David.
I don't know that I got that you listened. I read the text and it was not, but I don't know that I got the message of the news conference. It seemed very muddled to me.
Go
ahead.
No, the reason it might have seemed muddled is I thought this was going to be a tough decision, and that there would be people before, people against, and there are good arguments on both sides. And the truth is, inflation is a little bit stuck here. Now, some things are getting better, like in services. Some things are getting worse, like food and vehicles, but we're kind of stuck. And then on top of it, you're about to have four or five big structural changes with a new administration. And so I think if he sounded a little muddled, he's not exactly sure where they're going to go from here. That's why the SEP, the Summary of Economic Projections, I think the median was down to 2. That's what I would have submitted. There are some that are less than 2. But there's a lot of uncertainty right now. So I think that's a little bit why he sounded the way he did.
You know, Nick Timiraos, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, asked the question that I wanted to ask, which was, you know, you're pointing out that inflation, you know, it's still sort of on the high side. The projections are maybe 2.8%. So why would you even consider cutting interest rates right now?
Right. And you know that that going into this meeting, I saw good arguments for doing nothing. The labor force, although it's kind of a push, it looks a little softer. Prime edge employment looked a little softer, but the truth is hard to tell. I have felt for a while that with inflation sticky around the mid twos, you can probably get the Fed funds rate down to 4.25, 4.5, but I don't think you can go further. And so those aren't easy questions to answer. Should you stop at 4.5, 4.75 and pause? Should you stop at 4.25, 4.5? Who knows? Nobody's smart enough to know. And for me, I kind of drew the line of 4.5, 4.25, 4.5. But the fact is, we're a little stuck here, and that's an issue.
Yeah.
And let me tell you one of the reasons why I think we're stuck. And this is why it's going to be interesting what happens next year. Fiscal policy, and you've heard me say this time and time again in these interviews, is historically stimulative. And I'm saying right now, and going as this administration comes to an end, they're pushing more money out the door. Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary, announced that they've now pushed out all the CHIPS money. I think they're pushing out more infrastructure and Inflation Reduction Act money. And that means, in effect, as we end the year, we've got more stimulus.
So more now, inflation potential.
That's right. And that's inflationary. Now we're about to shift gears, and you may have a dramatic change in fiscal spending. You're going to have a dramatic change in we're going to have to look at what happens with tariffs, with labor force growth, a lot of uncertainty. And it's going to be a little bit, there'll be a little bumpy ride. I think the markets have been moving as if this is going to be smooth process. And I think it's more likely to be a bumpy process.
I still get back. You know, there was a quote that I really liked that the chairman used during the news conference. And he said, people are feeling the effect of high prices, not high inflation. I'm not sure I know what that means, but I kind of like the sound of that.
Well, here's what he means. If there's any lesson, there's a disconnect between Main Street and Wall Street. Main Street doesn't care about the current inflation rate. It cares about the cumulative price effect, purchasing power. And regrettably, they've lost a good chunk of purchasing power, particularly low to moderate income. Wall Street applauds inflation getting down closer to 2, because it means rates can come down. Middle class family, low moderate income family doesn't feel that. It's the cumulative level of prices that matters more. And the truth is the average inflation rate over the last 4 years has been closer to 4.5, 4.75. And that's what matters.
You know, we listened to all the rhetoric before the election, but now after November 5th, we're beginning to see some of the reality, some of the people being put in place that'll make the decisions, some of the policies. And so now it becomes a little more concrete. Can the Fed look at something like that and look into the future and what the impact would be from some of these policies, or do you have to sit back and wait and see?
I think you have to sit back and wait. The Fed is good at understanding, once you have a structural setup, so what's an example of a structural setup? We know what fiscal spending is going to be. We know what immigration policy and labor force is going to be. Then they're very good at estimating and putting in their models what they should do. But we don't know the answer to those two things yet. And by the way, I'm not sure the folks in the incoming administration, they're just now coming together. They may not know the answer how they're going to make these decisions. On tariffs, we're either going to have a dispute primarily centered on China, but we're going to allow a corridor in North America to reshore, which I think will be critical, or you're going to have broad tariffs against Mexico and Canada and China, in which case I think this puzzle is going to be more challenging because it makes it harder to reshore if in order to manage these. And we don't know what they're going to decide on that. That's a big question, and I don't know the answer yet. I don't think we know the answer.
And again, for the audience, reshoring, bringing the jobs back here that we've lost to Mexico,
that's right,
or China or whatever. But this also begs the question with the labor market. You and I have talked about this on and off for the last couple of years. You're worried about a labor market that is aging and not being replenished,
right,
and in some cases, maybe being deported.
The key to this puzzle for me, if you make a mistake on tariffs, the benefit is you can change your mind a month later and readjust what you're doing. On labor force, I'm concerned you're going to seal the border fine. We're not going to have labor force surges. We're going to deport at a minimum criminals and folks like that. Got that. The question is, how much further are we going to go? And the reason that matters enormously is we need labor force growth.
Yeah.
And even in the Trump first administration, labor force growth was, you know, well over a million, between 1 and 2 million every year. If you go too far with deporting folks, not just criminals, but folks in the workforce, and inadvertently diminish workforce growth substantially or even shrink the workforce, it's harder for this puzzle to fit together because we need the workforce growth.
So step back with me for a minute. Are we on a slippery slope, or are we just sort of fine tuning? Things are pretty good. It's just a matter whether it's going to get a lot better or a little bit worse. Or is this a tipping point?
I think we're going to have a very substantial number of structural adjustments. So let's go through an example. You could see 300,000 government workers, if they're able to do this, lose their jobs. Those workers they will not quickly find new jobs. That could take a year. You're going to have deportations. And again, as I said, we don't know how far that will go. So we're very uncertain about what labor force is going to be. You're going to have tariff issues, either directed at China or more globally. You're going to have a big regulatory review that is intended to improve productivity growth, but that takes time. But I think that's going to start day one. You're going to have an effort to improve the energy, you know, more drilling, pipelines, refineries will be easier to run. But that takes time. And the issue is some of these moves I just said, like firing government workers and deportations, actually in the short run reduce GDP and may even tighten the workforce, which the Fed has tried very hard to rebalance the workforce. And so, again, you can make all those moves if you're dedicated to making sure we have good labor force growth, like a million plus. I think it will, in effect, lubricate all these structural changes, so they'll still maybe jarring in some places we can fit together. But that's the thing I'm watching. That's sort of the glue that holds this puzzle together, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's really, that is. That seems to be where it all comes back. It'd be fascinating to see the transition, too, and see what things look like after January 20th. Rob Kaplan is the vice chair of Goldman Sachs, former CEO of the Dallas Fed. We always enjoy the visits. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, David. Good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.